Broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Learning Insights, featuring learning professionals improving performance to drive business results.
Welcome to another exciting and informative edition of Learning Insights. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good friend and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are things going in your world?
Pretty well, but today is D-Day. Family starts filing in, staying with us for a little while as we lead up to the wedding. And I've learned to pronounce it now. It's Dahlonega. I always thought it was Dahlonega, like Talladega.
Right. And it's not.
And apparently it's not. So, the house is set up like a hunting camp. We got lots of family coming. We're going up to Dahlonega. And then, of course, family will stay with me for a few days leading up and through Halloween, and then it's Thanksgiving, Christmas.
So you're done for the rest of the year?
The work year is over. At least it is for us, but not for these good folks in the studio. We've got a studio full this morning. We have with us, no stranger to the Business Radio X microphone, the Grand Poobah, the CEO of Training Pros. Welcome back, Steve Capon.
Well, good morning. I appreciate you inviting me in to participate on the show with Dawn. I'm kind of a surprise participant today, so thanks for having me.
Well, we are delighted to have you. What's been going on in your world since we saw you last?
I guess it's been a couple months. We've been fast and furiously trying to serve the needs of our clients and trying to find great talent for them and trying to put the tools and processes and things in place to support our great team in Atlanta and the other markets that we serve.
Now, is there a lot of learning going on in the country?
We certainly hope so. No, we see that it is. I mean, we are hearing from our clients every day that they have a need to bring in learning professionals to help them design, develop, and deliver learning solutions for their organizations. And, you know, the economy is picking up, but at the same time, a lot of companies still aren't hiring these type of folks. So we are filling the voids for them. And so there is a lot of learning going on out there, and we're trying to help them make it happen.
Well, this is going to be a fun segment. As I promised, I want you to join with me in welcoming to the broadcast from Manhattan Associates, Collaboration Manager, Enterprise Technology Services, Miss Dawn Garten. How you doing, Sunshine?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling me Sunshine. Ties right into my name. I love it.
So, Collaboration Manager, that sounds like a tall order. What's that all about?
Well, we have an enterprise software called Yammer. And we rolled it out about 2 years ago. This is actually before I was with Manhattan. And it came about from our CFO, who realized there was an opportunity here. And there's a freemium version and there's an enterprise version. And basically you tie to your work email address. So, excuse me, and several people got signed up and he realized, hey, there's a possibility of how we can really communicate and collaborate. And things got rolling along from that perspective and a role was created to be able to help educate, work for the training side of that, and leverage what that tool is all about within our company.
So now, this is something Manhattan Associates, they developed Yammer or they use Yammer?
It's software in the cloud that we use, uh-huh. Yes. And actually, Microsoft recently purchased it about 18 months ago. So you'll see it integrated a lot more into the Microsoft products.
Now, what does Manhattan Associates do?
We are a supply chain software company. So we help clients, we're a global company, help them across the world with their supply chain needs. So software, products, services, basically be able to do things from the warehouse and get the product to the consumer.
So you are a professional yammerer. What does your day look like? What do you do with your time?
Well, I have a lot of my colleagues will stop by and ask me, well, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm in Yammer. And so now they're pretty familiar with that routine.
So you say, I'm yammered.
It's a whole new vocabulary, that's for sure. You're yamming it up. I help our new users learn how the product works so that they can get integrated into our company culture pretty quickly. They can find the groups that will help them with the products that they're working on and they're supporting, find the subject matter experts that they need to run into and ask certain questions, find out about what's happening in their office, so the different events that HR might have planned and things like that. And then I help our more seasoned users really leverage the product. So they're very familiar with how it works from a very social perspective, connecting with people, sharing files, sharing concepts, sharing ideas, how else they might leverage it. So when you have a new project, perhaps. They might create a new group in the software, bring everybody in, use it as a place to share files, share information, check in. It can really reduce email. It can reduce the need for a lot of meetings when you can do things online, essentially. So I help them see how this might work into their workflow with what the projects that they're doing.
So now, Yammer's been around for a while prior to Microsoft buying it.
Yep.
And I remember an early iteration of it. It was kind of like a private Twitter.
Okay.
Where like a company could use it for their internal communications.
Yes, you're right on track.
And then is it still 140 characters, or it can go beyond that?
No, much bigger than that. It's really kind of a combination Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook now. But definitely a company's private in the cloud concept. And they have a freemium version. So I go to yammer.com, and if you're a small company, big company, you can sign up with your email address and create your own account, kind of check it out. But you can basically have any length of post. You can upload files, so JPEGs, PDFs, Word files. You can send messages back and forth, so it has its own internal messaging system as well.
So when you use it, are you broadcasting out to the entire Manhattan Associates, or it's subset of that, or you can splinter it off into, you know, a handful of people? How does the communication work?
All of the
work?
Above. Yep, very good. So it's very group focused. So if you think about the group as the company as a whole, that's right. The all company group. We have over 400 groups that are tied into different aspects of either products, lines of businesses, interest groups. So we have even fun groups that are tied to maybe what you consider a water cooler conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm on Yammer, depending on where I post, it's going to be open to that particular audience to be able to see that information.
Now, who takes the lead on a given Yammer group? Or anybody could?
Anybody could, absolutely. So we have different customer support groups, and so they have key team members that are admins of those groups. All the customer support representatives would belong to that group, and then they have a process in place for how they're monitoring those questions. We have a policy, no question goes left unanswered, because we want people to get what they need, do what they need to do with that, and then move on with their day. And so we have that process in place.
So if somebody had a question for your group that you're in, or a group that you lead, can they join that group? Like,
yes.
How do they even know the group exists?
A couple of ways. If it's a public group, they'll find it in the search, or they might be told about it in a meeting, or if they do an email blast with, this is how we're going to use to communicate, they can join the group that way. If it's a private group, then they have to be brought in by the admin. So something that might be kind of kept closed doors in the sense of, this is just pertinent to these four or five people, but we want to have a group on Yammer to be able to work with that. Then the admin will bring them in, and they'll get the notification in their software that says, hey, you've been brought into this group by Dawn or whoever the admin is.
Okay, so let's run a real project here. Let's say that we had a project like we wanted Steve to start wearing ties. And that was our
Will that ever happen, Steve? Will you ever wear ties? Is this a losing battle?
No. When I go to clients, I put a tie on. So next time I'm at Manhattan Associates,
can we crowdsource your next tie? Yeah.
Okay, so I can source some white papers on the benefits of wearing ties in front of clients.
Sure.
And I can post this in our little group, just
you
those
sure
of
can.
Us on the tie project.
Yep, you
right?
can.
Okay, so now Steve's out of town, and you and I have been charged with the responsibility of putting together the first meeting. Can you and I get on there and kind of go back and forth real quick, like?
Yes.
It's almost like a chat roomy thing,
all
too, right?
All of the above. It's chat room. It's maybe Steve's out of town and he's 2 hours behind us in the time zone, and he logs on from his mobile device, sees that we've got a conversation going on.
He can catch up and dive in and say, you guys get back to work and quit worrying about how I'm dressed.
Yeah. No. He'll say, hey, I'm going to wear the purple tie. Is that acceptable? And we'll go, yes.
Now, is it archived and searchable?
Yes.
So it doesn't go away.
Wow.
It's not perishable, the
That's right.
information.
That's right.
So
and the searchable piece is what's huge. Mm-hmm. Because the questions that we're asked that are customer support, for example, or need help on, the research and development guys might chime in with the answer about, this is how you solve this problem. Well, that problem might come up again. So we have people know to go in and search by a particular keyword or topic. They can see the thread that was, here's the question, here was how it was answered, and this is how you move on. So it doesn't have to be, who do I ask this? I just go here and look for it.
So you just ask it in general, and somebody knows to answer it? Like, how do you decide who answers it?
Well, again, we focus in the groups. So it's, you really want to have a process in place that you're educating on how we're going to use this tool. It's, I wish it was magic. It's not. There has to be some guidance behind it. So let's say you're working on our WM product. We have a support WM group, mm-hmm. and everybody who's in customer support or professional services or R&D who are around that product probably belong to that Yammer group.
And they could be anywhere in the world.
Anywhere in the world, any time zone. Any aspect of the experience. So right. our newbies to our very seasoned folks. And if they're on the job and they have a question about, hey, this is what's going on in this install, what do I need to do? Then part of what we've trained them in their on-the-job training is when you go ask the question, be very specific. You know, where are you? What's the version you're using? What's the exact problem that you're having? What did you do that brought right. that problem? Do you have a screenshot you can share? Because you can upload those as well.
So they put that out there. Then how does someone know I'm going to answer that and Stone's not going to answer that? Or are we both rushing to answer that?
It could be either. You can decide maybe how that's going to go. We don't narrow it down to just one or two people answering it because Stone might have an answer for what worked on his experience. Mm-hmm. And then Steve might have a different answer because he was on a different piece of software. But just FYI, you might want to know this.
Right.
So you can see the whole threaded conversation. So Stone types in his answer and Steve might type in his answer. And the original person who questioned go, oh, okay, that makes sense. Let me try that and I'll get back with you. And Stone and Steve might have it set on their setups that they get an email from this group
that
they
know something was posted. Yes. Some yammering's happening.
That's right. I need your help on Yammer. Or what I tend to do is I keep the browser open and I can monitor those groups pretty quickly and so I can see what's going on in the sense of any questions there. So we have that process in place so it isn't kind of out in this virtual world. Somebody is addressing it.
So how much do you think we could bill Yammer for this segment?
Really?
They are going to love me.
Don, you know, we're in the training business. And you know, my question around Yammer is to what extent has formal learning possibly been reduced for like your support folks as a result of having Yammer, which is an informal technology from a learning perspective?
Right. I think right now it hasn't necessarily reduced the formal. It's enhanced what the formal gives because we still need certain things to be formalized in the training and what we're sharing. And then the follow-up is where the social and the collaboration really comes into play. So I think it helps our participants in the training feel comfortable that they have somewhere else to go once the class is over. It helps them kind of rise up through the ranks to help show that they're going to become a subject matter expert when they start contributing back to the questions that somebody else might have had. And then we might see that there's small pockets of information that, okay, maybe that piece doesn't have to be discussed in formal training because they're getting it answered over here. But that's kind of an ebb and flow process. Mm-hmm. So they might see, all right, they've got this kind of information covered here, but people are still asking these questions in training. So let's keep covering it, but then reinforce that you can go get ongoing self-service information in the group when you're done.
Well, it sounds like it kind of fills a gap that you hear out in organizations where, okay, we've got a training event, but now how do we support the employee on an ongoing basis somehow, whether it's with coaching, whether it's with other type of technologies. It sounds like this is kind of filling that void.
Yep, absolutely. It can definitely help fill the void in that planning process too. So we want to do a pre, a during, and a post in the training about how you might use this service for creating a group for the class or a group for the topic. In fact, our workplace learning folks at Manhattan are incorporating some of those groups to do just that. They're looking at some of our key classes from the leadership side as well as the product side and creating groups so that the participants have a place to go before, during, and after to network, collaborate, answer questions. And then what they are really enjoying is the follow-up process. Mm-hmm. So you have this two-week intense class, perhaps it's on the leadership skills. They go back to the group and they'll post questions, you know, once a week, every 2 weeks, and get the participants back thinking about, hey, this is what we learned. Mm-hmm. Are you implementing it?
And it keeps them engaged for a longer period of time, right?
Yes, and reinforces that learning so that they're out there doing it. And then they're sharing back how they're doing it.
Right,
so
now we have practices, more stories. And it's archived, so then it's accessible forever.
Oh, yep. I didn't think about that. It's all archived, so you can go back and get it whenever you want it.
Yes.
That is very cool. Now, as I understand it, the bringing Yammer on predates you at this particular organization,
right? That's
right,
yep.
But do you have any feel for what the early adoption was like? I wonder what kind of raised eyebrows and resistance maybe they ran into. Have you had a conversation with them about that? Do people initially just jump all over it, or do you get some little bit of pushback sometimes?
No, initially everybody jumped all over it. And that's usually the stories that I tend to hear from companies that are doing some kind of collaboration that in the initial employees are so starving to share their thoughts and get it up to the right place. They're tired of the suggestion box or these blank emails that don't really go anywhere. So within the first 30 days of our CFO kind of sending out a few of the invitations, it definitely had the viral effect. We had over 95% of the employees globally sign up for the account. And that's where he realized something's here. We need to work with this. And that's how they really put the plan together for the adoption, the group naming structure, the taxonomy, so we would understand how to educate people. This is what this group does. The ebb and flow of, like, we created X groups, but they weren't really used. And it turned out other groups took their place. So let's remove those groups because it's just confusing. So you have to have that idea of, this is what we think's going to work. Let's talk to people and see how they're using it. And then you're monitoring it all the time to see, is that really how the audience is using it?
Because it's constantly evolving, right? Because people,
constantly.
What happens, I guess, is that people start using it in a way that you couldn't have anticipated, right?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden you're like, well, that's a good way. And then
yes.
You kind of learn from that and then try to implement that kind of throughout the company.
That's exactly it. And that's how I try to help people leverage it. I ask them how they're doing it, or I see certain things that they're doing in the software, and I'll meet with them and say, why did you decide to take this approach?
Like, have this happen this way, yeah. Right?
And so they give me their background about why it turned out that way or why they tried it that way. And then I can take it to somebody else and say, this is what worked for Susan. Maybe you want to try it for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you can wall this thing off. In fact, it really lends itself to walling itself off to people with a Manhattan Associates email addresses or credentials or what have you. Is there a way, though, to open it up to, I'm thinking customer discovery, conversations we've had, Lee,
right,
in the last few interviews. Is there a way to open it up to some other folks for specific applications?
There are, depending on what you do with Yammer as far as a license. They have different portions, what they call an external network.
Oh, okay.
And so actually we've created several external networks. One is our customer-focused external network, where we have what we call our product council. So those are the key customers that want to be involved in the progress of the software.
So they're like the cutting edge. They want to be a leader in this. So they're open to this.
They're open to it. And they want to be able to give us their feedback about how they're using the product, what kind of features they want to see.
Even though it's not fully baked, kind of, right? You're kind of making
yes.
it as you go.
Yes.
And that takes a special client. Not every client's going to embrace that.
Have that
right?
patience. Yeah, right? That's it. But then and it's a closed network, so we invite them in by their email address, and we monitor that. But it's the same thing, that it's the tool, and now it gives them a place that they can share with each other, they can share with us, they can ask questions, so we can circle back to that. And it becomes an interesting place to see those conversations evolve.
So anything surprise you when you implement it with clients?
You know, it's not so much a surprise, but it was a reinforcement that you have to have somebody who's driving the effort.
You can't just let it happen by itself. It's not going to work, right?
If you build it, they will come. It's not true. It's not true.
So then when that person is the point person, what behavior do you need from them in order to get it to be becoming a thriving ecosystem?
You really have to give it the time and dedication. And depending on the network and your audience, that could be anywhere from 6 months to a year.
Oh, really? That much?
Of a little bit, yes, of where you're really
little baby steps,
yes, kinda. Yes, paying attention, because you have to see where the audience is taking it,
mm-hmm.
and if you're not paying attention to that, to nudge it in one direction or coach it in another direction or offer up ideas or see why it's going in that direction for how they're using it, you don't know how to recorrect.
But is the problem more of it's they're not using it, as opposed to they're using it in a way that's not appropriate?
Option A. And everybody has the fear of option B. That's
right.
What's really very interesting in both internal and external. I'll have people, well, what if they do X? And I'm like, that has never happened. But if it does.
I mean, it could happen, never happened.
It could, but everybody, that's the first thing we jump to. This is the fear factor instead of the success factor.
Right.
So that's very, very interesting for me to be aware of when I have those conversations, because I want to cut them off of the past to help them see we don't have
right.
to be afraid of it. It really is more option A, where people, they're not always sure how to use it. They want to use it,
but
so they just kind of look at it. Yeah.
Right.
And so I kind of equate it to the restaurant. If you walk by a restaurant and it's empty, are you going to go in? Maybe yes. Are you hungry? Maybe not.
So how do you seed it to make it look like there's activity in the early stages in order to get people to go in so that it's not an empty restaurant?
That's exactly it. So we have the group admin. or a community manager kind of concept where that is their responsibility. So just like Stone was talking about, I might have a white paper about why I should wear ties. I might make a post in the group and say, hey, here's a great resource. And I happen to like what they said in point A about, you know, purple ties. What do you think?
Right. So you're there kind of instigating conversation.
Yes.
Is that something Yammer taught you to do, or you just had to figure this out on your own after they?
You know, a little bit of both. My social media background helped teach that, you know, you really have to ask questions.
Because you were former social mediaologist.
I still like that title, absolutely. Yeah, I carry that always. Yeah, so the social background, you learn that in the sense of you have to bring it. People always like, well, it's on Facebook. Shouldn't it just happen? And I'm like, right. No, it's the same concept. If you build it, they will come. That's not true. I mean, maybe if you're Coke or Beyonce, yes. But for most of us, you have to work at it. Yeah.
Now, when you say work at it, what does that require? Like, is this posting every hour, posting once a day, and, you know, creating these conversations? Like, how much effort does it take from the facilitator in order to get that kind of inertia going so that it moves by itself?
There are a lot of variables. And so you have to kind of try and then reevaluate. So from an internal perspective, I don't have to post on, if I didn't post at all, our network would still be fine because we have enough people who have.
Well, now it's been a couple of years.
Been a couple of years. But we still have a lot of newbies in the sense of the company that are still figuring it out. But we have enough inertia going that people can see and monitor and go, okay, this is how I participate. And we have those conversations. In our product council network, the external network with our customers, we're probably looking at trying to keep them engaged, you know, on a monthly concept. So the admins who are the product managers for each of those groups try to find a white paper, or they have an upcoming call, or they want to be aware of something that happened in the world of that product for where that might affect them. Then they'll do a post then. And then we call tag people, if you're familiar with that concept in Twitter or Facebook, that kind of thing, so that you bring people into the conversation because they'll get the notification. They get the alert that Dawn tagged you. And hopefully they'll chime in on, hey, I read that article, or this is what I think. And so it's still a trial and error process to see what's going to really work.
What
to get
rhythm
them to
works
talk.
The best to get.
Yes.
You're still working on that. That probably constantly evolves.
I think, and even as soon as we think we have it solved, the next day it'll change.
It'll be different.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead.
To what extent has Yammer replaced any type of internal content management system or technology that you may have in place?
You know, it's probably hasn't replaced it yet. I would love it if it would and could. There's big wheels to turn to make that happen. It has helped because it's in the cloud and it's mobile driven, and we don't have to be VPN'd into our network when our guys are in the field. It's really helped reduce some of what we did in our intranet, which is SharePoint. Mm-hmm. It hasn't replaced it. I don't think it will replace it. There's still a different purpose for what SharePoint can do, but now it's kind of altered what that purpose is versus how we can use Yammer. It's replaced some of our distribution list in the sense of email. In the old ways of how we handled a question in the field, there was a distribution list that comprised of all these people who are now part of the group in Yammer. So this email blast went out to, you know, 50, 80, 100 people, hey, I need help. And then somebody would reply, or two people would reply, and it got to be this crazy chain, and somebody else was going, I shouldn't be on this chain, I want to get off this chain. So it's really helped reduce that concept. And I would like to see more of that. It's a hard battle. People are just live and die by those email boxes sometimes. Yeah. So
it just seems like that there's content that's being created in Yammer.
Yes.
But then you've got content on your SharePoint, and how do you get those
integrated?
To integrate it, exactly.
Right. Well, SharePoint, before Microsoft bought them, you could add in apps that tie into SharePoint and the Yammer integration. And so when you did a search in SharePoint, the information would come up if there's documents or things tied to SharePoint, and then the Yammer group with the search that it came up with the keyword would also represent, hey, there's conversations going on there. And I also think that's a bigger piece about why Microsoft saw the vision of what Yammer could do in their software. And eventually what the roadmap looks like for them is it's not about the tool, right? We got to know how to communicate. The tool is just options. And so they're really trying to make it so that it's a very seamless process for the user, whether I'm on my mobile device or my laptop, to be able to communicate with Steve and say, hey, you need to wear that purple tie. That kind of thing.
Now, let's go back to the training of somebody to use this kind of it's kind of an intranet, right?
It is, yeah.
Is there, you mentioned that 95% kind of engage with it pretty much right off the bat. How quickly do they get frustrated? Where are the pitfalls in this process? And how do you kind of coach them through that? And you mentioned earlier about, you know, you're tagging people and you're getting them kind of personally involved, kind of forcing them into the pool so that they can try it. So what are some of the pitfalls and some of the strategies?
Some of the pitfalls, there's an assortment of them depending on, you know, what avenue that person's coming from. When they're brand new, it can be very overwhelming, like
there's so many groups, so many choices. Yes. I don't want to make the wrong one, or how am I going to fit in?
Right. So we try to help them to see, to do some searches first, you know, kind of the idea of looking before you leap. So if you search and look for information and you can see that it's there, you're going to be more comfortable to ask the question that you have.
But are you giving them a manual? Like, here's the, you know, how to get started manual, or is it a one?
Lee, I don't like manuals. Do you like manuals? Do you read the manual? I mean,
So you're having a conversation, or they're going to a webinar? How does it get facilitated?
All of the above. So we have anywhere from 2 to 7 minute videos, actually, that usually we get from Yammer. We've done some ourselves, but I try not to reinvent the wheel. So if they've got this covered, we just reference that information.
Which, again, you can distribute through this Yammer tool, right? You can post the video.
You can post the link. Yep.
And so there's a Yammer group for newbies?
There is a Yammer group for newbies. Welcome.
So that's the first thing. That somebody joins a company, they're like, hey, go to this is part of your training, right? Yep. You have to learn this because it's a tool we use here.
Right.
Go to this and watch these 3 videos or something.
Well, I encourage that. I know in the first 90 days, they're very overwhelmed with everything that they're going to figure out. So I'm kind of softly working behind the scenes because I can see when they join, there's a join message that comes up. I have what I call a Yammer greeter crew that, because, you know, it's just like when you walk into Walmart and they say, welcome to Walmart or welcome to Moe's. You know, you want to be welcome.
welcome to
Manhattan. That's right. So, you know, 4 or 5 people will chime in with welcome to the network. If you have questions, this is what I do, how I can help you, that kind of thing.
And then you see like a month goes by, they haven't touched it.
So
now what?
So then I usually I'll touch base with them and say, hey, I know you've been really swamped. You got a lot of things on your plate. I just want to circle back to see if you've had a chance to look at X group, which is tied to professional services, which I think is probably helpful. And then they'll say, yes, I have, but I haven't had a need for it yet.
And you know if they really have or haven't, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know everything now.
Well,
I wish.
I'd be interested in Steve's take on this as well as yours. Obviously, Manhattan has fully adopted this, dyed in the wool, but the organization that's just beginning to entertain this, just beginning to implement, it strikes me that training and development is an ideal starting place because you have these pockets of people with a common vested interest and a new nomenclature, a new body of work that they're all talking about and studying. Is that right? Is that a good starting point, is training and development for a company beginning to implement?
Absolutely. And of course, I selfishly say that that's because it's part of my background as well. That's how I kind of evolved in this whole role. I've got a technical training background. I started getting into social media because I was curious and I saw potential about how it could be used in the classroom, adult learning, having fun, checking back. That evolved into these other aspects that turned into this fantastic opportunity that I now have at Manhattan. And certainly training is a key level to me at a lot of things. And so whether it's informal or formal or engaging in the different aspects of tools and people, it all works together. It's not going away. It's just getting better and more efficient in how we can do things.
Well, I think it'd be a great way to introduce the technology and solution to an organization through training. So if you can envision, you know, new salespeople, and they come in and do their, you know, sales training as a new hire, if you will, and Yammer is used as a support technology. Right, so that after they complete this training, they're part of this group, and they're engaging in discussion, sharing information. But then the light bulb goes off as to, hey, we could use this on the job.
That's it.
You know, I'm out in the field and I've got a product question, and how to sell this feature or function or whatever, or how to close a deal, and I can use Yammer to do that. And so they're making that jump from, okay, I can use it in training, but now I can use it in my job. Same thing in R&D, and same thing in some of these other functional areas within a company. So I think it's a great way to be able to introduce this type of technology and understand how it can be used from a collaborative standpoint to support people on the job.
It's really fun to see the stories too. So when they make that leap and they ask the question and then it gets a success, we mark that conversation in Yammer as what we call a YAM win. Remember our vocabulary that we have to make up? It's a YAM win because that conversation made something happen that maybe wouldn't have happened any other way or it'd have been more difficult to get there. So it's fun to track those stories in our network to see how people are using it, how it was able to have a success. And then where I like to have fun too is I'll circle back and say, hey, you closed that deal. Why don't you share some of your success tips? Why did you close that deal? How did that work for you? Because then the rest of the guys who are in that group can benefit. They might try that technique or that story or that idea when they're in the field too. So it really becomes this whole full circle way of sharing and getting the work done.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, how would you, if you looked at the all the Manhattan Associates, what percentage are the power users? What percent are just barely using it? And what percent are just kind of a little bit using it?
You know, probably the numbers aren't what I would like them to be. I'd love my power users to be like 80%.
Right.
But the 80% is probably more the people who are like, I'll use it every once in a while, or I'm still checking out, or you're
like they're trolling
weird,
and
know.
Reading. I'm sure that a vast majority are doing that.
Right.
But how many are really engaging and sharing and doing all the stuff you'd like them to do?
You know, probably 5 to 8% are really more of our power users who are becoming the more sharing, more engaging. We're seeing that number grow. It's mm-hmm. taken 2 years to get that. In the beginning, it was probably more the 2%. We might have had a little burst in the beginning because people were super excited
right,
about it was.
Honeymoon
and then
stage,
how it evolved.
Right?
Yeah. So those are the power users, though. That's where, again, where the training comes in. I want to utilize what they know and love and take that out. I'm only one person. So by helping them tap into what they can do and sharing with their teams, their ideas, and having a place for it, then it just, that's how that number grows.
And that's what you're charged with, right, is create more power users and more company-wide integration.
Yep.
So I know a lot of folks, or at least I have fallen into this trap of thinking of words and concepts like collaboration and putting it in the kumbaya bucket. You know, it feels good. It sounds good. But I don't want it to get lost in the throes of this conversation. The person who drove this thing was the CFO.
Yes.
There's real bottom line impact to
show
building and sustaining a collaborative environment. Can you speak to that and validate that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. He saw the vision. He knew that our employees were clamoring for something like this, and he took the leap in the sense of going from the freemium to the paid version of the software. And we have metrics that we want to meet and return back as to the conversations and to the power user question that Lee had. How many of those do we have? How is it integrating with the rest of what we're doing? How can we help educate and keep the new hires abreast about how this works? And, you know, the return on investment is key. It's just like any other business tool that we have. We have to manage that. Where I try to couple that is it's not just about the numbers. It's about the stories. So I can give you, you know, 8 to 10% are doing X. But when I can show you the story about how this worked and how that sales came about and why this really was a collaboration effort, then that's when other light bulbs go on. And that's how they go, oh, now we need to do more with it. But truly, you've got to have that upper management buy-in. If they're not interested, the ground level will swell up, people will do it, but then eventually it'll die out. Because if you don't have upper management who are at least intrigued or encouraged or see the value of collaboration or working out loud and what this can really do, eventually it just kind of dies.
Now, is there a way to mine the data to find, like you're trying to, a part of your mining of the data is to get these success stories and the wins and share the best practices. Is there a way to mine the data to find the gaps? Like, oh, there's a problem here. Like, we need to create a training course on this because this is happening over time. Is there a way to kind of use the data in a R&D manner?
Right.
Because there's a lot of good intelligence in there. Just in normal conversations that maybe you can leverage. And
absolutely. I'm going to take that down as an action item that I need to be doing in my job. That's brilliantly. There's probably not an easy way to mine it, but I would imagine yes, in the sense
because
of doing some
search,
keyword
right?
searches on maybe some problem words that we tend to notice.
Right. And you see,
and
like,
be able to
hey,
extract
this
those
is,
stories.
You know, we're searching for this word. Look at how many times in July this phrase
right.
came up. And as opposed to last July.
Right. And how are we working to
right.
solve what
so
this
maybe,
issue is?
Right. This is obviously an issue. So
that's I have not taken that side. I really like that. I'm glad I came this morning. Thank you.
Everybody wins.
Everybody learns.
You're always collaborating.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning. So much passion, energy, and enthusiasm behind you and your work. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. I was excited to be here.
Is there a Yammer person in town here that you're dealing with, or you're dealing? Are there?
There are Atlanta folks that are Yammer reps. My customer support manager is actually out of New York, so we have a weekly call. And actually, I'm going to be on a call with him at 11 and then at 2 in the sense of some updates. But there are local folks that you can certainly talk to, and people can certainly connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter, and if they have questions or I can help hook them up, I'm happy to do that.
Fantastic. So you're open to that if colleagues, listeners out there would like to learn more, have a substantive conversation with you.
I will always talk social. I will always talk collaboration. Absolutely.
All right. So the best way for them to reach out is to LinkedIn or
Twitter. I'm at Dawn Garten, and I'm happy to help.
All right. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor, our guest this morning, Steve Capon and Don Garten, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family, saying we'll see you next week on Learning Insights. Although we stand.